Thank you all for coming this Saturday night in Salt Lake City. Thanks also to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emails at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is part of the process. Prabhupada used to point out that every embodied living being is flawed in four ways. Each and every one of us has a tendency to cheat. We have imperfect senses. We're subject to illusion. And we make mistakes. So that means that given enough time and circumstances, human failure is inevitable. When it occurs, if we respond in the wrong way, it can even prove fatal. How should we think about failing? We all know it's not fun. In fact, it's painful. But is there an upside? In an article in Harvard Business Review, Amy Edmonds had observed, quote, "The wisdom of learning from failure is incontrovertible. Yet organizations that do it well are extraordinarily rare. This gap is not due to a lack of commitment to learning, but to thinking about failure in the wrong way." We're building a temple just outside the door here. And at this point, the foundation is poured. The roof is up. But in mid-construction, there are tools scattered here and there. Angle iron. There's an old pallet out there. I don't know what it's doing. 2x4s. There's a huge dumpster. The particle board that was put down a year and a half ago has been subject to moisture. It's all frayed and tattered. Sometimes there's mud everywhere. Things seem out of place. Looks like a disaster, in fact. However, we're not going to say, I don't think this is going to work out. Let's stop building. It's so messy. It's never going to be what we want. We're not going to say that because we all know it's what? Part of the process. You can't build a beautiful building without rain, without mud, without smelly paint, piles of debris, and sheetrock dust. In the same way, we have to see the things that are messy in our own lives, the things we struggle with, the things that seem out of place, as simply under construction. Doesn't mean it's not going to work out. Water in the living room, tools willy-nilly, the failures, the disappointments, the betrayal, the delay. You may not like it, but it's all part of the process. You cannot become all that you were meant to be without some messy places in your life. To the untrained eye, a construction site may look unorganized, random. It can even look like a failed effort, but to the architect, it's no big deal. He's not worried. He drew the plans. He knows exactly where everything's going and how everything's going to turn out. Prabhupada said, "We're building temples and developing projects. Not only the finished buildings, but even the messes of construction are meant for helping us make spiritual advancement. They are meant for bringing us closer to Krishna. Krishna is the architect. He has a plan for your life. The good news is that the messy places cannot stop your destiny. The delays, the things that you don't understand, failures, even your own mistakes, they're already taken into account." C.S. Lewis observed, "The enemy sets people to becoming preoccupied with their failures. From then on, the battle is won, for she has taken us out of the action." We're here today to assure you that Krishna has you right on schedule. You're not yet a finished product. Krishna is still working on you, and what he started, he will bring to conclusion. Maya will whisper, others maybe, but not you. You have too many flaws, too many weaknesses. You have made too many mistakes. And when you hear the voice of the accuser, just remind her, hey, Maya, I'm under construction. I may have some messy places, but God's not finished with me. I may not be there yet, but instead of beating myself up, living with negative recordings in my head, my attitude is, I'm a masterpiece in the making. Maya says, well, you still have that addiction. Yes, but I'm under construction. You still have the temper. You still say things you shouldn't. Yes, but I'm better than I was last year. I'm growing. I'm coming up higher. And I know this, that what Krishna started, he's going to finish if I keep him first place. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have to look beyond the mess and envision the masterpiece. Heard a story about a boy named Walter Elias. He was born in the city, but his parents moved to the country to become farmers. Walter had a vivid imagination, and the farm was a perfect place for a young boy with a wandering mind. One day in the apple orchard, he was amazed when he saw sitting on a branch of one of the apple trees an owl. He just stood there and stared at the owl. He thought about what his father had told him about owls. Owls always rested during the day because they hunted at night. This owl was asleep. Walter thought that this owl might make a great pet. Being careful not to make any noise, he stepped over sticks and leaves. The owl was in a deep sleep. It never heard Walter Elias walking toward it. Finally, standing under the owl, he reached up and grabbed the owl by the legs. Now, the events that followed are a little difficult to explain. Suddenly, everything was in utter chaos. The owl came to life. Walter's thoughts about keeping the bird as a pet were quickly forgotten. The air filled with wings, feathers, screaming, talons. In the excitement, Walter held the legs tighter, and in his panic, Walter Elias, still holding the owl, threw it to the ground and stomped it to death. After things calmed down, Walter looked at the mess of the dead and the bloody bird, and he began to cry. He ran back to the barn, got a shovel, and then he buried the owl in the orchard. At night, he would dream of that owl. And as the years passed, he never got over the mess that had happened that summer day. Deep down, it affected him for the rest of his life. As an older man, Walter Elias Disney never killed any creature again. Something from the mess of that day transformed Walt Disney. Something that redeemed him from the pit of despair. Something that gave him life, and he in turn gave life to thousands and thousands of animals on the big screen and in his theme parks. I ran across this little bit of information on all the Disney facilities worldwide, and I like to think it's because of directives that came down from the founder. Quote, Disney World is one of the easiest vacation spots in the world for vegetarians, did you know that, to find a great meal. How many of you have been? I've never been, but how many of you have been, had a good vegetarian meal? Disney World, all right. You can expect the typical high caliber Disney response to your needs, and you'll find vegetarian dishes at just about every dining location. No matter where you are or what your budget, you'll find some tasty choices in the theme parks and Disney resorts. Here it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Does that remind you of anybody? Prior to the cosmic creation, Lord Krishna says, only I exist and no phenomena exist, either gross, subtle, or primordial. After creation, only I exist in everything, and after annihilation, only I remain eternally. The sages see me as the unifying force field transcending the so-called good and bad of this material world. Echoing this Vedic theme, a Western philosopher named Hegel used a three-valued model to explain the creative process: abstract, negative, concrete. Hegel used this writing model as a backbone to accompany his points in many of his works. The formula, abstract, negative, concrete, suggests a flaw or perhaps an incompleteness in any initial thesis. It's too abstract and it lacks the negative of trial, error, and experience. For Hegel, the concrete, the synthesis, the absolute must always pass through the negative or human failure in the journey to completion. This is the essence of what's popularly called Hegelian diacritics in the West, or from a Vedic perspective, it's the creation through chaos construct. What are we saying here? The messy places are all part of the process. It may be uncomfortable. You don't understand it. You may even have brought the trouble on yourself. But when Krishna designed your plan, he took all that into account. Despite the wrong choices, despite the dysfunction, despite the failures, he can get you where you need to go. Now, that's not an excuse to live a sloppy, undisciplined life. But if you keep him first place, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you'll come to learn that to err is not only human, but it's necessary. It's part of the process. Closed doors, mistakes, breakups, betrayals, they're the bridge where we are in the present and where we need to be. The quote above says, while most people only dream of success but don't want to get their hands dirty, those who succeed wake up and work for it. Referring again to Hegelian dialectics, if you're to start with an abstract, A, that man is created by God to transform, and you want to end up over here with C, with a complete, that man reflect the glory of God, then the connective tissue, or B, between what we are now and what we are to become is the negative. It's failure. Practical example. This is what Edison said of his experiments to produce a working electric light bulb. Before I got through, he recalled, I had tested no fewer than 6,000 materials for filaments and ransacked the world for the most suitable filament material. The electric light has caused me the greatest amount of study and has required the most elaborate experiments, he wrote. I was never myself discouraged or inclined to be hopeless of success, but I couldn't say the same of all my associates. Genius is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. In other words, between the abstract concept of a working light bulb and its invention, Thomas Edison passed through 6,000 failures. Well, Chiru, my situation is too messy. I have water in my living room, mud on my floors. Hey, it's part of the process. Doesn't mean Krishna's not going to finish what he started. Why don't you quit beating yourself up because you're under construction? When Krishna brings you to completion, when he delivers you from the addiction, when he turns your family around, he's not going to bring up your past weaknesses, your past mistakes, your past failures. We all have messy places when we're under construction, but those are not going to keep us from becoming masterpieces. Like scaffolding. Scaffolding is ugly, it's unsightly. It is necessary for a period of time to construct a beautiful building. You cannot create a beautiful building without this ugly, messy scaffolding. But the first thing that's done once the building is completed is to take down and remove the scaffolding. Similarly, don't go through life focused on your failures. Focus on the times you blew it. You already have enough people and circumstances against you. You don't have to be against yourself. You have to be at peace with being under construction. Bill Gates said, "It's fine to celebrate success, but it's more important to heed the lessons of failure." A quote from a magazine called The Foundation for Economic Education on the importance of failure. Failed entrepreneurial activity is just as important as successful entrepreneurial activity. Markets are desirable not because they lead smoothly to improved knowledge and better coordination, but because they provide a process of learning from our mistakes and the incentive to correct them. It's not that entrepreneurs are good at getting it right. It's also that they, like all of us, can know when they've got it wrong and can obtain the information necessary to change their strategy next time. In this view, failure drives change. While success is the engine that accelerates us towards our goals, it's failures that steers us towards the most valuable goals possible. Once failures recognizes being just as important as success in the market process, it should be clear that the goal of a society should be to create an environment that not only allows people to succeed freely, but to fail freely as well. End quote. Maya will work overtime, reminding you of everything you've done wrong, trying to talk you out of your destiny. But our suggestion this evening is that instead of believing those lies, going around guilty with no passion, why don't you turn it around and say, "Lord, thank you that you're still working on me. I know this mess is a sign that I'm under construction. Despite my shortcomings, despite my failures, you're still not going to give up on me, and you're going to see me through to completion. I've learned that where I am now is not necessarily important. It's where I'm going, and the mess does not disqualify me." When you see people that seem to have it together more than you, don't feel bad about it. Everyone is under construction in some area. All of us have messy places, no exception. Here's the point, though. Let Krishna make you and mold you. Stay pliable. Move forward. We should be better this year than we were last year. What you have to guard against is not mistakes or not failures, but fear that the mess becomes permanent, that you settle into it and stop moving forward, that you resign yourself to always having that addiction, always having that hot temper, always having that negative attitude. We're here tonight to tell you that's not who you are. You need to keep growing, keep resisting the temptation. There's nothing wrong with being under construction, but there's a whole lot wrong with not making any progress. Now do your part. Be willing to change. If you do your part, Krishna will do his part, help you to come up higher. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. If you've ever visited a large city, you probably have had a chance to watch a skyscraper under construction. For the first 6 months or so of the project, all the workmen do is make this huge hole in the ground. Now, to start a tall building by digging far below the surface seems absurd, counterintuitive, even crazy, but as you would suspect, there's a good reason for the large hole. To build a mammoth building, it is first necessary to dig down until a strong what? Foundation can be built, one that's capable of supporting the skyscraper. A doghouse doesn't need a foundation. An ordinary residence can be built on little more than a concrete slab, but a skyscraper, that's different. That requires a deep and solid foundation. And so it is in our spiritual life. Our upward potential is totally dependent on the foundation beneath it. The taller the building, the deeper the foundation has to go. And when that building's finished, you can't even see the foundation. It's underground. And yet you could argue that that was the most important part. They could not build a huge tower if they didn't take the time to put in the proper foundation. Sometimes we feel strongly that we're supposed to be going up. We have big dreams, big promises in our heart, places to go, ambitions to fulfill. But it seems the opposite. Instead of going up, we feel like we're going down. We're not growing. We're not seeing the good breaks. What we may not realize is that Krishna is working on our foundation, our character, how we treat people, how we respond to adversity. We don't like these times, but they're incredibly important. Why? The deeper the foundation, the higher the building. Don't get discouraged when things aren't happening on your timetable. Krishna knows what he's doing. Keep passing the tests. When you're good to people who aren't being good to you, your foundation is going down deeper. Krishna will not release for you what he has for you until he knows that you can handle it. It wouldn't be a blessing if he gave it to you and you weren't ready. Let's say Krishna has an 80-story building designed for you, but you're willing to go up 80 stories with only a 40-story foundation. It may be easier, quicker, but that would be doing you a disservice. Don't fight the foundation work. Don't get sour because things are not moving as fast as you would like. Things are happening that you can't see. Your foundation is going down deeper. You're being prepared to rise to new levels. And at the end of the day, your feet should be dirty, your hair messy, and your eyes sparkling. You may be in a messy situation. People have come against you. You've made mistakes. You've had bad breaks. Tonight, Krishna is saying, it's not over. It's all a part of my plan. You're under construction. We're not going to understand everything that happens because Krishna's ways are not our ways. But if you keep in faith and continue honoring him in your life, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then what he started, he will bring to completion. In spite of having had a rough childhood, in spite of someone walking out and breaking your heart, in spite of people trying to talk you out of your dream, you're not going to miss Krishna's victory for your life. God has the final say. Tune out all those voices saying, you blew it, you had your chance. No, Krishna would not have allowed it if it was going to keep you from your destiny. Why? Because it's all part of the process. Charu, I'm working at this job I'm overqualified for. I have so much more in me. Seems like a mistake. No, Krishna knows that's not your final destination. He would not have allowed it if he didn't have a purpose for it. Do you think that God is so precise that he causes the earth to rotate right down to the exact millisecond and he's going to falter on your plan? He's going to let something happen to you that takes him by surprise? Well, if he made a mistake with you, that would be first time since the creation of the universe. What I'm saying is, why don't you trust him while you're under construction? Trust him in the messy places. Trust him when you're sure it's a mistake. Sometimes Krishna has to take us backwards before he can take us forward. He has to dig down deep before we can go up higher. He has to prune you before you can bloom. If you'll stay in faith, you're going to see how it's all going to work out for your good. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In 1929, Georgia Tech football team played the University of California in 1929 Rose Bowl. In the game, a player on the California team picked up a fumble, got confused, and ran the whole length of the field the wrong way. A teammate tackled him just before he would have scored a touchdown against his own team. At halftime, the players went into the dressing room and sat down, wondering what the coach would say. And this young man sat by himself, put a towel over his head, and cried. When the team was ready to go back to the field for the second half, the coach stunned the team When he announced that the same players had started the first half would start the second half. All the players left the dressing room except this young man. He wouldn't get up. Coach looked back over his shoulder, called him again, and he saw that the face of this player was wet with tears. Player said, "Coach, I can't do it. I ruined you. I've disgraced the university. I can't face the crowd in that stadium again." Coach put his hand on the player's shoulder and said, "Get up and go back in. The game is only half over. We've got a chance to correct in the second half any mistakes that we made in the first half." That player's name was Roy Regals. We read about him today on Wikipedia as Wrong Way Regals. However, what's not generally known is that the mistake he made in running the wrong way changed his attitude in life, gave him a new lease, new excitement. The next season, Roy Regals was named on the 1930 All-American football team. And when you think about that story, you think, what a great coach he had. And what a great coach we have in Krishna as well. One last story in the Mahabharata. Yudhishthira lost his whole kingdom by playing in a game of dice that he already knew was crooked. What a colossally boneheaded move. Landed him, his brothers, his wife in exile for 13 years, after which they had to fight a huge battle. Even though at times it looked hopeless, Yudhishthira knew this truth. Krishna always ends in "all is well." That means that if it's not all well, it's not the end. If there are things holding you back, things seemingly out of place, messy things, means you're under construction. Don't get discouraged. Krishna is still working. After 13 years, the Pandavas not only recovered what they'd lost, but they got twice back what they'd had before their troubles began. You can scour all scriptures, and you won't find any place where someone did something significant, somebody honored God, took new ground for the kingdom, who didn't also have messy places on the way, who didn't have times when it wasn't fair, times when they made mistakes, times they felt unqualified. But when it all came together, it made sense. They went from construction to completion. Here's the key. You cannot properly judge the construction process if you don't have the plans. You may think, "I'm done, Churu. That's it. I'm finished. That's all she wrote. Straw that broke the camel's back. Too many mistakes. I missed my destiny." Well, if you had the plans, and that's what the plan said, you're done, I would agree with you. But the problem is, we don't have the plans. Krishna has the plans, and he says they're for your good and not for your harm. They are to give you a future and a hope. What I've planned for you does not end in defeat, failure, mediocrity, dysfunction. The last chapter of your story ends in victory. If you see someone happy, blessed, fulfilling their purpose, loved by their family, you might think that things just fell into place. But everyone has to go through the construction process. They didn't get where they are without messy places, without things they didn't understand, without people who were trying to stop them. Will you trust him while you're under construction? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Harishchandra lost his health, he lost his business, he lost his family, he lost his young son, he lost his kingship overnight. Everything fell apart, and for a while he was negative, grieving, complaining, but then he came back to a place of peace. Nothing turned around in his circumstances. That was all just as bad as it had been, just as messy. But he turned it around in his outlook. He said, "Krishna, I know you can do anything. I know that nobody can stop your plan." And once his attitude changed, then that was a catalyst for God to turn it around and restore double what he had before. I wonder if instead of complaining about the mess, by being discouraged by what didn't work out, what if we were to say, "Father, Krishna, I want to thank you that nothing can stop your plan for my life. That what you have ordained for me is on the way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In 1987, we had completed the walls, the roof, the flooring, the pipes, the wiring for that log house down in Spanish Fork, Utah. You've all seen it. It was a brand new house. We had the light switch in, we had the floors, we had the heating, we had the AC, the stove, the oven, washing machine. Only problem is that shortly after construction, the power wasn't connected. We called Strawberry Water. We asked them if they would turn on the power. We were waiting. We went over one day, switched everything. Nothing happened. We went another day, switched everything. Nothing happened. Everything was dead. It was pretty useless. Without heating, it was too cold at night. Without AC, it was too hot during the day. We couldn't cook, couldn't have running water, couldn't do our laundry. There were no lights to see. But one day, after about a week, we went over and we flipped one switch, the lights came on. We flipped another switch, the water came running. We flipped another switch, the washing machine came on. Flipped another switch, AC, power. With one flip of the switch, with one powerful connection, everything made sense. Everything conspired to take us to a higher level. Everything came together. I believe that if you've kept God first place and passed all of your tests, that you are about to come into one of these connections. You've been on the verge of it. You've been skirting around it. You've been diligent and upbeat and expectant through the messy places. You've been honoring Krishna. You've jumped from one negative to another without any loss of enthusiasm. You've learned that negative is not a failure. Negative is the bridge to cross the ocean of birth and death. You've made the transition with joy. You've crossed over with faith. Your character has been coming up higher. You're about to see Krishna flip the switch. Suddenly doors open. Suddenly healing comes. Suddenly the right person shows up. Suddenly that new temple gets built. You're about to go from construction to completion. Those things that were hindering you, you're coming out the other side, better off than you were before, wiser than you were before, more faithful and trusting than you were before. Despite mistakes you may have made, you are still going to fulfill your destiny and become everything that Krishna has created you to be in this life, and in the next life, go back to home, back to Godhead. Thanks very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.